Praise God.
Most of you know, in fact, I would say probably all of you know Paul Slagatus and Linda. Maybe you didn't realize this about them, but our brother and sister served for how many years, Salvation Army? Too many?
Yeah.
He had how many years?
Probably 10 in the Salvation Army and 15 or 20 in others.
Amen.
So.
But I think it was like 5 to 7 years ago, our brother showed up sitting back there and started coming to this church and started building a relationship. I think the biggest thing I can say about Paul is he's my friend.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He protects me. He speaks encouragement to me. And that's a great thing to have a friend. Amen. But he's going to share the word of the Lord with us today, and we're going to get excited about what he shares, right?
Amen.
Amen. So let's welcome our brother.
I think that was good advice. Let's pray. We're just going to have a word of prayer before we get going, because I need it even if you don't. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy upon us. We pray that we'd be faithful soil this morning, that we would be the good soil, that we receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of our hearts individually. Lord, I believe you have an individual message for us this morning, and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you something for free before I get into what I was going to say. Actually, I probably don't need to say much because Pastor preached a pretty good sermon at the end of worship. And there was another one in that video we just watched. But as I was thinking of the press meetings, it reminded me of an old friend of mine. He used an illustration. He said that God wanted to bring blessing into our life, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And what it reminded him of was fried rice at a Chinese restaurant. He said, you know, they pack it in there and you bring it home and you start pouring it out into the bowl, and this little tiny container becomes a big bowl of rice. And what God wants to do for us is more than that today. And that fits in with the sermon title, because the sermon title is? Good. I like interaction because it's the only thing that lets me know that Sugar Sunday has not brought you to your knees. I wanted to start off a little tradition that we had in bringing us back here in the church, and looking at the fact that, you know, we talked about testimonies, one of our sermons over the last 4 weeks. And testimonies remind us of where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. Everybody understand that? You know, my testimony is I came from a horrible family. By 17, I was an alcoholic. It was not a good thing. I'll save it for another time. My wife's testimony is she can't remember not knowing Jesus. And sometimes she says, boy, you know, I wish I had some other things in my life so I remember that. And I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Praise God. So then we talked a little bit about spiritual birthing, and that's salvation to me, followed by sanctification, and proved forth by the faithfulness of God. Because salvation comes through what? The faithfulness of God. Sanctification comes by what? Well, it's a joint task there, but it's the faithfulness of God and our faithfulness to do what? Press into God. So it fits right in with where we're going, doesn't it? And then we had the proclamations of the season, and we had the 10 plagues of Christmas. I do believe that somebody wrote a song. Now, I don't know we're going to sing it this morning, but there is a new song that has been written. We'll move right along. And then releasing the blessings, because we want to be about that, don't we? And then the last sermon last week was what? I'm glad you all remembered that. Let me ask you, I seem to have forgotten to put any notes there. Anybody want to tell me what gift we're talking about receiving? Okay. Give me another one. Jesus Christ. That's good. Salvation. Anything else?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So if we're looking to receive those gifts up to this week, and this week I'm talking about what? Unleashing the gifts. Then what we're looking at is saying, okay, how do we release Jesus Christ? How do we release what the birth of Jesus really means? How do we release salvation to our friends, our neighbors? How do we release the Holy Spirit's power? Because I don't know about you, I don't want to go out and witness to somebody in Paul Slagatus' parlor because it's pretty crappy. You know, I'm going to come out there and I can see it. It's going to be like the demons that were hanging around Paul, and you know, I try and talk about Jesus who Paul preaches, and all of a sudden they're beating me up. And I wonder what happened, because I didn't know the one who was giving me the gifts. So I want to talk a little bit about Egypt this morning. Brandon kind of started that theme with the plagues. In Egypt, the people were trapped in sin, and their destruction was assured because they were trapped in sin. We understand that, right? For the wages of sin are death, and what is death? Death is hell. And, you know, there was a group, some of you older people will remember, that wrote a song, "Hell Ain't No Bad Place." I'm here to tell you that's not true. Hell is a bad place. Excuse me for just a moment. Okay. I realized, Pastor, I didn't check to see what time I started, and I promised you it'd only be a half hour. Haven't preached for 9 years. You guys are in a lot of trouble. So we know that without Jesus, our destruction is assured. Judgment is already appointed over us. Judgment is appointed over the lost out there, whether they want to realize it or not. And what they're missing is the gift of salvation. They're missing the fact that they need to know that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross. That's what they need to know. All the sin that's in their life, the Holy Spirit's going to deal with as time goes on. Until they know that Jesus is an authority, that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died on the cross for them, they're going to continue to live in destruction assured. If we want them to progress in a new place, we need to be releasing the promises in their lives. We want them to avert destruction, don't we? So how do we do that? We bring forth Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit to come forward out of us. We let the gift be released into the world, into our church, into our community, into our workplace. When I come in, you know, one of my questions I like to ask people, how many people have a secular job? Raise your hand. I will pray for all of you, because none of us has a secular job if you know what secular means. Anybody know what secular means? It means not submitted to God. That's the Greek base of that definition, not submitted to God. So we don't have a secular job, because when I walk in, it's like, hey, baby, here comes the kingdom of God this morning. And wherever I come, I'm going to let the kingdom of God just roll off of me. I went into the CEO of our company the other day. He was having a headache. I said, can I pray for you? He didn't let me. Doesn't matter. A seed was planted. The kingdom of God is with us. We want to at least release it so we can bring people to a new place of freedom, a new place of life, so that they can have assured deliverance. Because Jesus isn't an Indian giver. Amen? Has Jesus called you this morning? If he's called you, he's equipped you. If he's equipped you, you're ready to go out. Because we go out with the Holy Spirit. Anybody remember the scripture that said, when you go, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because in that very hour, I will give you the words you need to say. Amen? In that very hour, I'd rather have the Holy Spirit give me the words I need to say, then follow my outline this morning. Amen? All right, so we're going to look at Egypt and the way out this morning. And Egypt, most of you probably know, is a type of the Christian life. Because Egypt has a great representative point. Israel moved to a safe place, didn't they? They went down to Egypt. Joseph, it was all set up. God set it up so that A, they would go down, B, that they would be in captivity, okay, and C, that he would bring them out. So Joseph moves them to a safe place, and Joseph came and told Pharaoh, this is Genesis 47:1, as you can see in the Amplified version, my father and my brothers with their flocks and their herds and all that they own have come from the land of Canaan, and they are in the land of Goshen. Sounds good, right? Why did they go to the land of Goshen? They had sheep. Sheep want to eat grass. Land of Goshen was a nice place in Egypt. Okay, so they went there. They, being sheep farmers, the Egyptians didn't want them anyway in that area. So what ended up happening was, over time, we see the picture that comes is the bondage of sin that is created by being trapped in Egypt. They weren't submitted to God at this point. They were trapped in Egypt. Joseph brought all the land of Egypt, and this happened to the whole country, not just Israel. For Pharaoh, for the Egyptians, sold every man his field because of the overwhelming severity of the famine upon them. The land became Pharaoh's, and as for the people, he removed them to their cities and practically made them slaves at their own request. Isn't that an interesting, when you go into the Hebrew, it pulls out, it made them slaves at their own request from one end of the border of Egypt to the other. Now, how many people know that many times people who are lost in sin are there at their own request? Okay, it might be a generational curse that's in their lives with drinking. My drinking in our family went back four generations. Right now, my two brothers, well, one's passed away now, but neither of them serve the Lord. Both of them were alcoholics. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. It was passed on. My grandfather, he was an alcoholic and a booze runner. How about that? So you look at these curses that get planted and they pass from generation to generation for bondage. And we want to pass the gift of life to be passed from generation to generation. My prayer for my kids is that they would be better Christians than I ever was, that they would have more desire for Jesus than I ever did, that they would have more life, more power, more direction. Isn't that what we hope for? So when we think about it, they weren't really happy in Egypt. They wanted to get out of there, kind of. You'll see why I said that in a bit. So they needed to be released from bondage of sin. And God brought down the gods of Egypt. That's why we heard about the 10 plagues. But what you might not know, if we kind of, I think this is the next slide that's up. Give me that next slide with the unreadable table. If you guys want to be able to read this, I will give it to you in another format. But we think about the 10 plagues. What we don't realize is there are two dozen gods of fig. Affected by the 10 plagues. They were brought down. They were shown to be powerless before the power of God. Is that incredible? Because we serve the only true God, the living God, the powerful God, the God who wants to really change our lives and has the power to do it, and has sent us out to talk to a lost and a dying world as incompetent as we are. God doesn't care about our incompetence because he is our competence. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you what. We get excited about a lot of things. And, you know, my wife watches football. And she's not one of these people who screams a lot. You know, so when I hear her say, get him! For most people, that's jumping up and down, dancing around the house, screaming their heads off. And I'm like, okay, this is the kind of people we are. But God wants us to be excited about us. And the him we want to get is the devil. Because he's been lying too long. He's been holding on to things that don't belong to him. And he's been tricking us to hold on to things that don't belong to us. So we want to be released from all the bondage that is in our lives. We still have things that we cling to. You know, I had this picture when I was a young Christian, and it was of a big dinner plate, you know, one of those big platters they bring out in rich people's houses, and they have the big cover on top. And, you know, you see them lifted off with flourish, the butler or whatever. And I think God is just like that with our lives. We get saved and he goes, good, puts the lid on. And then he lifts up the little corner of the plate and he sticks his finger in there and kicks out a pea and says, deal with that. And we start dealing with it. And we get done and we're proud of ourselves, and he kicks out another pea and says, what about this one? Because if God had no mercy on us, he would say, here's how I see your life, and we'd die. Beauty of that, we'd be with him, I guess. But the problem is that we are in a state of constantly getting, being free. Amen? So the freedom from the bondage of sin is critically important. God started off by bringing down the false gods. Then he separated the chosen. Do you notice some of those plagues affected everyone, and then some just affected the Egyptians? Right? And then positionally, they had to bring themselves into a place where the last plague did not affect them. What did they do? Dip the hyssop, touch the lintels, the doorpost. Some people talk about being the sign of the cross. They identified themselves. They were now marked. They would not be welcome to stay in Egypt after everything that happened. So in the next slide, we see the freedom from the bondage of sin. It says, but in Romans 6, but thanks be to God, through though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How many people are knowing they're slaves of righteousness this morning? Do you know you can't be a slave of two masters, right? So if the devil is speaking to us and telling us what dirtbags we are, and he does that to me, I don't know if he does it to anybody else. But if the devil is telling us that, we need to remind ourselves, hey, I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I can't be a slave to you anymore. I can't follow you anymore. You don't have any power or authority over me. And if this thing isn't my life, I'm going to bring it out and kill it in Jesus' name. Amen? That's my biggest frustration, by the way. It's like if I do commit a sin, and it unfortunately happens too frequently, I said, well, nah, you should have known better than that. And that the devil will use even that against me. Well, you knew better than that. You shouldn't have gotten angry. You shouldn't have yelled. I'm a slave to righteousness. The old man came up. I'll take him out and knife him again if I need to. But I'm not going to let you rule over me and bring me down and tell me I'm not able, I'm not capable, and I'm in bondage to this, because I'm not. I'm free. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the good news is they got broken the bondage of sin. But then they went out and they came to a spot where they were a little concerned. Okay? So let's read Exodus 14, and I'm going again in the Amplified Bible, Exodus 14, 11 through 14. And they said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Now imagine how encouraged Pastor Moses was by that. Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Now look whose fault it is. Didn't we not tell you in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It was so great there. We had leeks and onions. Wait a minute, they're the same thing. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Moses told the people, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed. How many people, in face of your circumstances, those things that challenge you, the tragedies we go through, have faced them firm, confident, and undismayed? And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So the next type of the Egyptian freedom is leaving Egypt and stepping into the desert. Now, how many people know they could have been to the promised land in a couple of weeks? Was it 40 years? Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had all the manna and quail that they could possibly eat. In fact, God said he'd give them quail until it was coming out their nostrils. And I do believe they said, and all you give us is a wretched manna. They got a little sick of it. But they weren't submitted to God. Where was the thankfulness? Lord, thank you for this manna. Can you give me a cinnamon-flavored version or something? They didn't approach it like that. It was murmuring and complaining. And as they murmured and complained, they walked in circles and they walked in the desert. Some of us are doing that in our Christian lives. All of us probably do it from time to time in our Christian lives. We wander in the desert in circles instead of laying hold of the promise that God has already said, here it is, take it. Anybody want to be there this morning? I want to be in the promised land. I don't really want to be wandering. I want God to clean up this mess that is Paul Slagatus, because I know there's nothing good in me other than Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to take a little second look at the scripture we read earlier, and if you can see that, looked bigger on the screen, you know, anyway. And having been set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to divine will and thought and purpose and action. I am speaking in familiar human terms because you are natural limitations for easy for me to say. For as you yielded your bodily members and faculties as servants to impurity and even increased lawlessness, so now yield your bodily members and faculties once for all as servants to righteousness, right being, and right doing, which leads to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but then what benefit return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? None. Amen? For the end of those things is death, but now since you have been set free from sin and have become the slaves of God, you have your present reward and holiness, and its end is eternal life. How many people want eternal death as opposed to eternal life? I once had a witch doctor in Jamaica say to me, excuse me, I lied to you, Haiti. He said to you, Christian, I'm going to live forever. And I looked at him and said, yes, sir, you are. And that started a conversation. He said, no Christian has ever agreed with me before. I said, well, they probably just weren't thinking in the terms I am. Everybody lives forever. You either live an eternal life, peace, joy, bliss with God the Father, or eternal death, hell with Satan and his people. Guess where you're going? He didn't like that either. He began cursing us that very night. We were having a crusade. And we had about, the first night, about 50 people came to the crusade, and he had about 300 people at the Voodoo Temple. On the last night, I kind of felt sorry for him. We had about 700 or 800 people at the crusade, and he had one guy with him in the Voodoo Temple. Hallelujah. God is stronger than darkness. He always wins. That's the nice part. I've read the end of the book. You should try it. This is one where you're allowed to cheat. In the end, it says we won. Amen? I hope I didn't spoil it for anybody. But we win. Hallelujah? All right, let's see if we can try that hallelujah again, because I want to shake the roof off. We win. Amen? Hallelujah. God set us free. He released us to the promise. He says, who I make free is free indeed. John 8, 31 through 36. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. These guys were deceived, by the way. We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. So, how can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. How many people are claiming sonship and daughterhood to Jesus Christ this morning? We are free indeed. God has liberated us. That's the unleashing of the gift that we talked about in the beginning. And I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in a house in piles full of money, more than I could ever spend in my entire life, I think I'd start running down the street with it, throwing it around. We need to throw Jesus around. Because there's an unlimited supply. The Holy Spirit even challenges us, says, give me out and don't test me and see that I won't give you more than you can hold still. We are constantly being filled, which reminds us of the sacrifice of the cross. I'll give you another scripture here in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. Sorry, I'm reading in a different translation. You've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. As a deacon, I love this. You're not compelled to work. It's just an outward expression of the love that you have for Jesus. Amen? We don't serve, we don't give out the gifts to others because we have to, because we're people who believe that if I don't tell people about Jesus, I'll go to hell. You know, there are cults out there and traditions that say you've got to do good works or you won't get to heaven. Our God says it's by grace. Nothing you can do to affect it. And even the grace you couldn't have affected. It came from God. The salvation came from God. His calling came from God. Your ability to receive it came from God. You have nothing to do with the equation. All you got to do is receive the gift. Hallelujah. So what's the difference? Oh, by the way, it might be interesting to note this. The word that is used here is the same word that is used with Mary. Linda, would you read that scripture nice and loud? It's always nice. You can always pick on your wife, make her do things. She can't say no. Now, in the word that he uses, favor, here is the same word. The word is actually loving kindness. And if you look at loving kindness, this is from Strong's. I don't know if I want to read all of it, but we'll see here. To rejoice, practically that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor. Here it is, acceptance. How many don't feel accepted this morning? You're accepted. For a kindness granted or desired, a benefit, thanks, gratitude, a favor done without expectation of return. The absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to man, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver. Oh, that is cool. Think about that. In the bounty and the benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. And then it tells you where it came from, the Complete Word Study Dictionary. So if we go on and we look at this again, we're going to look in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Words used again, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, toothless. Sligatius of vision. Seeking whom he may devour, resist him, steadfast in the faith, the word, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. So let's wrap this thing up real quick. I'm trying to make sure. I told Pastor, he gave me 30 minutes. I'm just about there now. I asked for an additional 33 seconds. He granted that. Shows there's grace. So we want to make sure we're receiving the gift of deliverance and salvation. If you haven't received that this morning, if you don't know that you are saved, if you don't know that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, you need to know that this morning. You need to know that you know it. Not just believe it. Because the Word of God addresses that too. It says, yeah, the demons believe and they shudder. Do you know that Jesus is living in your heart? Are you sure that if this was the last moment of your life when you closed your eyes, you'd open them again and you'd be in the presence of Jesus? If not, I'm going to challenge you this morning to make a decision for Christ. Proclaim the goodness of God through our testimonies. We all have a bunch of wonderful testimonies. I remember the story when I was a new Christian, we had a Bible study, and it was exciting because I was a new Christian. So we were having this Bible study, and one of the things that we did was we sat around one week and said, so look, it says go. We should go out and tell people about Jesus. This is cool. So we prayed for divine appointments. You ever do that? You should try it sometime. We prayed for divine appointments in the following week, and then what we're going to do at the next week's Bible study is come back and say, well, how did God set you up? So we're all going around the table happily telling about our situation, and we came to this one lady, I will never forget, Velma, and we were sitting there, and Velma didn't want to go, but she was the last person, so now she had no choice. She said, did you get any divine appointments this week, Velma? She said, yes, I did. What happened? One of my coworkers came to me, and she was going through a lot. She had a child who was rebelling, her husband divorced. It was a horrible situation in her personal life. And then one of her coworkers came to me and said, Velma, I don't know how you do it. You keep a smile on your face. You just always have energy. You're always positive and upbeat. How do you do that? And she said, I told her I take vitamins. I told her, go back next week and tell her you take vitamin J. Jesus. So when you look for those divine opportunities, remember, vitamins are not the answer. Now, here's another challenge for those of us who are walking with Christ. Are you every day receiving the loving kindness of Jesus Christ in your life? Are you receiving the loving kindness of Jesus Christ in your life every day? What does that mean to you? If you're puzzled, you're not. And we all don't every day. Let me give you a hint there. But we need to be pushing into that because I can't give out what I don't have. I can't give somebody the loving kindness of a Savior who loves them with all their heart if I can't open up my heart and from the fullness of my heart pour it out. Otherwise, I'm just going to be giving him vitamins. Or I'm going to give him religion. Better to give them vitamins. God is the God of now. And he wants us to unleash the gift of loving kindness into a lost and a dying world. If we have never seen it before, we got to see it today. Look around at what's going on in Congress. The Supreme Court making rulings about marriage with the Ten Commandments behind them on the wall. Not sensing the irony. We need to be about unleashing the gift this morning. If everybody would just close their eyes. I think I made it, Pastor. Every head bowed. If you are not saved this morning, if you don't know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand as a testimony that you need Jesus in your life. And if that's you and you feel like later on you want to come forward and pray, please do that. If you know you're walking in areas in your life this morning that maybe, and the worship team can come up, maybe you know that you could do more for releasing who God is in you personally, releasing yourself to be God's ambassador, then consider making a testimony to God this morning and standing up and saying, Lord, I am going to live in your loving kindness so that I can truly know that your love is here for me, that I am accepted in the beloved, that despite my circumstances, as bad as they may be, as challenging as they may be, you have a way out for me. You have life for me. You have hope. You have a future. You promised it in your word. Then once we get started here with this song, pastor selects. Please respond to God. And if you're in the last category that was in our text, you're in the promised land. You have all the gifts. They're flowing in your life. You know they're there, but you need a new ability to release them. Stand up for Jesus. Say, Lord, I want you to use me. Make 2016 the year that we take Boonville and Lowville and Forestport and White Lake and every other community in our sphere of influence for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.